God bless you, sis. Hey, baby. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen.
I don't know why he wants to keep me here, but I'm not going to question.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Amen, sis. Amen. Love you, sis. I believe the Lord leaves you around to encourage your preacher. It's always a blessing to me. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of John. John chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you find John, stick your finger in it and hold your place, and then go over to the very front of your Bible, the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter number 3. John chapter number 6, and then Exodus chapter number 3. And I just want to, if I can this morning, if the Lord will give me voice enough to do it, I just want to brag on Him just a little bit. People brag on a lot of things, and people uplift a lot of other people. But, you know, there's nobody more worthy or more deserving to be uplifted or to be bragged upon than Him. You say, who's Him? I'm talking about the Lord. I'm talking about God in heaven. I'm talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If I can this morning, I just want to lift Him up a little bit. And here's my prayer. I pray He'll be lifted up in your heart. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. In other words, He said, here's the key to the ministry. Here's the key to building a church. Here's the key to leading and building people. Just lift me up.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, just lift me up. You know what I found 16 years in the ministry? People ask me all the time, what is the secret to building a good church? What's the keys to success and all this? Just lift Him up. Amen. Just lift Him up. I know we need organizational skills and we need to learn how to handle finances and we need to do all these things, but nothing is more important in the Baptist church or any other church than to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate what the teenager said this morning. She said, it's not Brother Eddie. That's not the reason I come here.
Amen.
Did you know her parents go to another church? But for years they've chosen to worship here. You know what she said? It's the Lord.
Amen.
It's the Lord. I appreciate a tender heart.
Amen.
That has sense enough to walk into a building and see that this is not man-made.
Amen.
This is not cooked up or thought up.
Amen.
But it's Him. Amen. Exodus chapter number 13, or 3, we'll look first this morning. Am I too loud? Sound like I'm ringing. It's probably my ears. Exodus chapter number 3, you know the story. Moses is a fugitive from Egypt. He's wanted for murder. And he's on the backside of the desert over here, and he's keeping his father-in-law's sheep. And he's been in exile now for 40 years. And he's out tending the sheep one day and he sees the bush that's burning, but yet is not consumed. And Moses approaches this bush, and as he does, A voice comes from the bush and says, take thy shoes from off thy foot, for the ground that you're standing on is holy. Amen. And it was the voice of God talking to Moses. And God gives Moses some pretty specific instructions. The children of Israel have been in bondage, God's chosen people, they're slaves down in Egypt. Pharaoh is the king, and God tells Moses, hey, quit reading them bulletins, I'm preaching to you. God said to Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and tell the king down there to let my people go. And Moses starts making all these excuses of why he can't do it. But God gives him one good reason why he can do it. You can do it because of who is sending you. Did you know God would never ask you to do anything that you can't do? Did you know God's never asked me to fly? Not one time. God's asked me to do a lot of things since I've been saved, but He's never asked me to fly. You know why? I can't. I can flap my arms as hard as I can. I ain't going nowhere. If I jumped off this building, I would hit the ground. But did you know I thought about it this morning? One day He will ask me to fly. And on that day, I'll be very able. Are you with me this morning? Some of y'all ought to wake up and go to church this morning. One day He will ask me to fly, and I'll pass every jet that's in the sky. Amen. Amen. The space shuttle won't have nothing on me. Hallelujah. God never asks us to do anything we can't do. Amen. I feel like the Lord's dealing with me about teaching Sunday school, but I'm afraid I can't do it. He wouldn't ask you if you couldn't. Amen. He's able to put in you what He wants out of you. And if what's coming out of you, He didn't put in you in the first place, it ain't worth doing anyhow. Amen. Let's look at some scripture this morning. This brings us up to verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, now watch this, what is His name? What shall I say unto them? Pretty legitimate question. Do you know our God is not the only one that is called God? There are many gods. There are many gods mentioned in the Bible. As you read through your Bible, if it's little G-O-D, lowercase G-O-D, it's not talking about our Father God. It's talking about a false God. An untrue God, a fake, if you will. Amen. Some people pray to Buddha and consider him a God. In the jungles of Africa, they have carvings out of wood and they call them gods. Some people have statues on their dashboard and they call them gods. So Moses said, let's get specific. When I go to them and say to them, God has sent me to you, they're going to ask me, what's His name? Who is He? Who is this God that has sent you, a murderer, a fugitive, to come down here and set us free? And God said unto Moses in verse 14, I am that I am. And He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. What a name. I am. I mentioned this, it may have been Wednesday night or last Sunday, I don't know, but I referred or made reference to this scripture, and it's what's had it on my heart all the week long. But God said, when you go down there, you just tell them, I am sent you. I am sent you. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? You know, God has many names in the Bible, and I was kind of going through them in my mind last night. There's one name for God that means creator. There's one name for God that means our God's banner over us. And there's just many, 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 many names for God. And God could have gave him a specific name. Could he not? God could have said, tell him, Eddie sent you. That would have limited who God was. That would have only meant that he was good looking and had a sinus infection. Amen. God could have said many things. He could have said, tell him the Creator sent you. But that would have limited God to creation. He could have said, tell him the Savior sent you. But that would have just limited him to salvation. Did you know that's about as much of God as many of us know, or many Christians in society, all they know Him as is as a Savior. That's all. That's as far as they ever go. They trust Christ as their Savior. They admit that they're a sinner. They receive Him into their heart, but they never go any further, and that's all they know of Him. But He's much more than that. God could have given Him one of His many names. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He could have, the Lamb, the Lion, the Lily. I mean, He could have went on and on and on and on. But if you'd have gave Him one specific name, that would have confined God to that one area. So He said, when you get down there, Moses, you just tell Him I am. And anything you want to put up under that, hallelujah, that's exactly what He said was, I'm everything you need. Yeah. I am the answer for the problem. I am the solution for the situation. You just tell Him, I am, hath sent you. I don't know how He's been in your life, but He's been everything I've ever needed. Amen? He's been everything I ever needed. He was my Savior. Amen? When I needed saving, He was my Savior. When I knew nothing of the Bible, He was my teacher. Amen. When my heart was broken, He was my comforter. When I needed advice, He's been my counselor. When I just needed a companion, He's been my friend. When I've been wrong, He's been my disciplinarian. Amen. He's been everything I need and more. Take your Bible and go to John chapter number 6. And I just want to tell you what Jesus said He was. Just a few verses, we'll stay in the book of John and look at just a few verses. I'll show you who He is this morning. I'll show you who sent me this morning. Just as sure as God sent Moses to the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, God sent me to you. I don't believe anybody's here by chance or by accident this morning. I believe it's God's perfect will that you be in church. I believe it's God's perfect will that you hear this very message. Hey, you may be here this morning. You've been saved for years, but you've got a need in your life. There's a void, an empty spot, a hole, something that needs filling. Can I say to you this morning, it's Jesus? I'll get to the scriptures in just a minute. Somebody said, I need a job. No, you need a God to help you get a job. Come on, somebody talk to me. I'm sick and I need healing this morning. I need a doctor. No, you need the great physician, and His name's Jesus. You say, I'm going crazy in my mind and I need some counsel. You need Jesus. Amen. He can give you anything, whatever it is you came in needing this morning. You say, well, I bet He can't give me money. I bet you He can. If you'd handle it right, He'd have done gave some of you some. Amen. Well, well, let's look at the scripture, John chapter number 6. I want you to look with me at verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am, say it with me, the what? The bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus said, first of all, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. You know what bread does? Bread gives life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, what he was saying, I am here for the one who is unsatisfied. There's a longing, there's a hunger, there's a void in my life, and I'm trying to find something to fill it. Did you know nothing will fill you like bread will? My wife and I love to go to Red Lobster. By the way, when you're buying those gift cards for Pastor Appreciation Day and my birthday and Christmas, my wife and I like to go to Red Lobster. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in case you were wondering. Somebody ought to get a pen, write that down right fast. Preacher and his wife loves Red Lobster. Did I mention we like to go to Red Lobster? Amen. And when you go to Red Lobster, they come out and they take your drink order, and before they can even bring the sweet tea to the table, they bring this little wire basket. And in that basket is bread from heaven. I know that's what the manna was that fell. It had to be. Somebody help me. Can I get a witness? If you've ever eaten them cheese biscuits at Red Lobster, you know what? And you know what you'll do? We'll order our food and we'll sit there and eat them cheese biscuits and get full. And before we leave, we got to get a to-go box. Let me just throw this in a little side note for you. Just some Red Lobster advice. Order shrimp scampi. Comes in a little dish about that wide. It's, I don't know if it's baked or broiled or what it is, but it's got garlic butter floating in it. Dip them biscuits. Sop them in that garlic butter. You'll know you're saved when you do that. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Did you know that the Bible teaches us, and it took doctors years to figure this out, the Bible said that bread is good for your heart.
Yes,
brother.
Amen.
Now, I ain't talking about this imitation bread, what most of us eat. If bread is white, it's had the life sucked out of it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's why they put all that cheese in it at Red Lobster, makes it good for you. Amen. But the Bible said bread's good for your heart. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, he'll not only fill you and satisfy your soul, but he'll fix your heart, man, that is covered with sin and stained and scarred by this world. I'm telling you, he is the bread of life. And if you don't have him this morning, I invite you to come and partake of the bread of life. Amen? Have you ever just had a longing or a hunger in your life? I'm talking about spiritually. Something's missing. Something's causing you not to be able to sleep at night. Something has drawn you to be in church this morning. Brother Jeremy's back there this morning. He and his wife got to having a discussion one day. And I don't know what preempted or caused it, but one of them looked at the other and said, we need to get in church. And they both agreed. Jeremy's wife was unsaved. I believe it was her. Was it you? It was her. You was like, okay. He thinks she still is, but no, I'm kidding. Something was drawing them. You know what that was? There was something missing in their life. He agreed, and he knew what it was. She agreed, but she didn't know what it was. She just knew something was missing. So they got to Googling churches in Villarica and found us, and the Lord brought them here. And I believe on that very first Sunday, Michelle got saved. Amen. And then I had the privilege of baptizing both of them. And then she told my wife, she said, we've never been so happy in all our lives. Why, that empty spot that was so vacant and void that we try to fill with everything in this world, the Lord steps in and satisfies the very longing for the soul. Thank God he is the bread of life.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter number 9, I got to hurry. The Methodists are already at the buffet line. By the time you get there, it'll all be fresh. Amen. John chapter number 9 and verse number 5. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the what? The light of the world. For the hungry, He said, I am bread. For the blind, He said, I am light. Amen. John chapter number 1, you can read that sometime on your own. You'll find out about how the light came into darkness. Light's a wonderful thing. Do you know what light does? It gives us the ability to see. How many of you have ever experienced total darkness? I mean total darkness. I'm talking about laying in your bed with the light cut off. That ain't total darkness. I'm talking about when you put your hand right there and you cannot see it. Total darkness. Do you know spiritually that's where you were before you were saved? And if you're not saved this morning, that's where you're at. And God's brought you into the house of God. And He's cutting the floodlight on His dear Son this morning and saying, here's what you need. It's Jesus. That's it right there. Hallelujah. My wife was watching a crime show on television. Y'all forgive us, but we like them crime shows on television. Who done it kind of thing. And when they go into the crime scene, they don't, and my wife, she's very observant. They never cut the lights on. Mama watches them too. They never cut the lights on. They've all got their own little flashlight. And my wife said, why come they don't ever cut the light on? I said, because they want a spotlight. They're looking for something small. They're looking for something of significance, a small piece of evidence. So they're shining the little small light on every square inch of the place. So they're not looking at the whole thing at the same time. They're just looking for what they're looking for. And sometimes Jesus comes in our life and that's the kind of light He shines. Hey, I hope this morning that the light is shining on nothing but Jesus. Not your job, not your banking account, not your marriage, not your children, not your health, not your relationships, but Him. Yeah. Just a small spotlight shining on nothing but Him. That's the first step. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, pray. I got to get my marriage fixed. No, you got to get Jesus first. You got to get Jesus first. Some of these missionaries in foreign countries, they worry me. Because all they worry about is feeding and clothing the hungry and the starving. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with feeding and clothing the hungry and the starving. There's nothing wrong with giving medicine to those that are sick. But if we clothe them, if we feed them, if we inoculate them, and we give them antibiotics, all we've got is a bunch of dressed, filled up bellies that aren't sick and don't have disease that'll die and go to hell if we don't first shine the light on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm light for the blind. When I could not see, He showed me the way. Amen. Now that I'm saved, now that I'm saved, I still need His light to guide my life. Amen. I pray that all the time and I don't even really think about it. You ever say things you don't even really think about why you say them? Lord, give me some light on this. I pray that all the time. Lord, I don't know what's going on right here in my life, but I just pray You'd give me some light on it. What am I saying when I say that? I'm saying, Lord, the answer's already there. Lord, You know exactly what You're doing. Lord, You know, I know I'm at point A, but I have no idea where point B is. I don't know if it's that way. I don't know if it's that way, that way, that way, that way. God, I don't even know which way to go. Give me some light. And I don't know how many times in my life when I've been confused and bewildered and just really, I just don't know which way to go and have no direction. Down in the depths of my soul, a light will come on and God will say this away and God will say that away and God will say, do it now. Now do it tomorrow. Do it like this. Do it like that. Hallelujah. I'm glad He can give light.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I used to think anytime somebody called and wanted me to come and preach a revival meeting or a youth conference or whatever it may be, I thought that was always God. You know what I found out? It ain't always God. Some of us have the idea that any opportunity must be from God. No, there's bad opportunities. I realized several years ago there's some places I just don't need to go. Amen. Some places I just really don't need to go. I go to Brother Fisher's leadership conference in California every year and usually preach at least one service. I go every year. And like the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, not this year. Not this year. You'll get in on something else. He said, is there a reason you're not going? He said, don't go.
Amen.
There's some meetings that I didn't take because the Lord said, don't go. There's meetings that I do take because the Lord said, go. Amen.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I need some understanding on my situation. Have you asked Him?
Have
you asked God to give you some light on your situation? Have you asked God to give you some light on your dilemma? Have you asked God which direction to go? You said, preacher, I'm out of a job and I've been filling out applications. How many of them have you prayed over?
Yeah.
Amen. By the way, Brother William, I had a message on my phone this morning. Somebody called for a reference on you. You want me to lie or tell the truth? Amen. I better lie if you need a job, huh? Jesus said, for the hungry, I am the bread. He said, for the blind, I am the light. Look at John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Couple more and I'll quit. John chapter number 10. look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. Jesus said, I am the what?
The door.
The door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be, say it again, saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, for the bread, for the hungry, I am the bread of life. He said, for the blind, I am the light of the world. He said, for those that are on the outside, I am the doorway. I am the entrance. I am the way in.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh yeah. Do you know folks all over this world are looking for multiple ways in?
Amen.
I heard Rush Limbaugh. I used to listen to him on the radio. Sometimes I like to listen just because I like to argue with the speakers in my dash. I don't make good sense, I know. I need help. But I heard somebody call in with a religious question one day. And he made a statement, probably not verbatim, but something akin to this. He said, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. Do you really believe that? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. Did you know those poor Muslims honestly believe by killing innocent people and blowing themselves to oblivion that that's going to gain them an audience with God? They actually believe that. You say, well, what if they're sincere? They are. You got to be pretty sincere to strap C4 on your body and blow yourself up. That's more sincere than we are. They are sincere. They're just sincerely wrong. The poor Mormons. And I'm not mad at them. I wish they'd get saved. I wish they'd get it straightened out. Joel Osteen said on CNN before the election, they asked him about Mitt Romney, who was a Mormon running for president. And they said, do you believe Mitt Romney is a good Christian? And Joel Osteen, America's pastor, said this. Of course, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ is a good Christian. Do you sincerely believe that? When the man full of demons saw Jesus coming down the road, you know what the demons said? What have we to do with thee, thou son of David?
Amen.
They believed in him.
Amen.
They believed in him. Oh, by the way, the Mormons believe in him too. They believe in Christ. They believe he's Lucifer's brother. Before you get mad at me for kicking somebody's doctrine, get your doctrine straight. Amen. They believe he was Lucifer's brother. He's not Lucifer's brother. He's my brother. Amen. Because I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. He said, I am the door. Hey, John chapter number 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, there's no other way but Jesus, friend. Good works won't do it. Baptism won't do it. Confirmation won't get it done. It's Jesus or nothing. Amen. You say that's narrow-minded. It needs to be. With so many opinions,
yeah.
It needs to be narrow.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
Yes, yes,
he said, but narrow is the way that leadeth unto life.
Amen.
Narrow is the way. What he's talking about, narrow, it means it's my way or it's no way. To get in this building this morning, you had to come through a door. You had to find an entrance, and thank God we have many ways in. But to get to heaven, there's only one door, and its hinges are hung at Calvary, and He is the way in. He always has been the way in, and He always will be the way in. For the hungry, He said, I'm the bread. For the blind, He said, I am the light. For those seeking entrance, He said, I am the door. John chapter 10 and verse number 11.
Amen.
He said, I am the good shepherd.
Yeah.
And the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, for the wandering, I am the shepherd. You're hungry, I'm bread. You're blind, I'm light.
Yeah.
You're trying to get in, I'm the door. Trying to find your way, I'm the shepherd. I love what David said in Psalms 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Why? Because He is I am. That's who He is. So I don't have to long for anything. I don't have to need for anything. Why? Because He's my shepherd and He's everything I need. He's all I need. He said He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Hallelujah. I'm glad He's my shepherd. When I'm lost, He finds me. You ever wandered away? Prone to wonder, God, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Thank God for a shepherd. Thank God for a good shepherd. Hey, He said He left the 99 to go out and find that one little lost lamb. Hey, that was not a lamb that didn't belong to Him. It was already His lamb. That's why He went out looking for it. I don't get saved and lost again, saved and lost again. I am the sheep of His pasture that I am prone to wonder off. We get our eyes off the shepherd. Sometimes we don't wander purposely. You ever had a young'un wander off into Walmart? Walmart's a whole world to a 3-year-old. I mean, that's a big old place. It is. Ashley was the world's worst. Was one of her very first words was Walmart. And her mother would tell her time and time again, you stay right here, you stay right here. But you know what would happen? She would get her eyes off mama and hooked up on Barbie. Yeah. Hooked up on them dolls and them playhouses and all that stuff going on in the toy department. And mama's constantly moving on. By the time she realizes mama's gone, Mama,
Amen.
Mama, She said, "Here I am." You know what Jesus said? He said, "My sheep know my voice." Anybody in that store could have said, "Here I am." And she'd have said, "That's not my mama." But boy, she hear the voice of her mama. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know His voice. I'm glad I know when my shepherd comes calling. Hallelujah. I love that song they sang. Is that the voice of the shepherd? Is He calling my name? I'm glad I know His voice. He's a good shepherd. Amen. Woo. Can I give you one more? Brother Todd, y'all come on, get ready to sing. Give us. We'll have an invitation. Sister Ashley, maybe you and Elizabeth come. John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. I quoted it already, but I just want to show you this morning. John chapter number 14. Right after the Lord tells them that He's going to prepare a place for them. In verse number 6, you ought to commit this scripture to memory. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Have you noticed the prefix before everything Jesus has said He was? I am. Woo! God, who do I tell them you are? What's your name? I am. I am what? I'm bread for the hungry. I'm light for the blind. I'm the door for those seeking entrance. I'm a shepherd for those wandering. Amen. And He said, "Boys, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said, "Not only am I the bread and the light and the door and the shepherd," He said, "but I'm the way. I'm the way." And then He said, "I'm the truth and the life." Life. Ephesians chapter 2, according to verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter number 2, if we're not saved, we're dead in trespasses and sins. You know what we need? We need life. We need life. Jesus said, "I am the life." He said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." There's an old song that used to go something like this. It had in its chorus, "I just started living. I just started living. 19-year-old, lost and on my way to hell. Bowed down under a pine tree in the wee hours of the morning. Trusted Christ as my Savior. And at 19, I just began to live. And because of that night, I'll live on throughout eternity." Why? Because Jesus does not give life and then take it away. When they roll my body down here, Brother Freddie, some of these other younger men stand over and preach my funeral. I'm not dead. I've just begun to live. I didn't die, I graduated. I'll be more alive then than I ever have been. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. What do you need? Are you hungry and need filling? Why don't you come to Jesus? Because He's the bread. Is your world gone dark and you can't seem to find the way? Why don't you come? Because Jesus will give you light. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You're looking for the door, the way to get in. Why don't you come this morning? Because Jesus is the door. If you know you're saved, but you've just wandered away from God, you're trying to get back to the shepherd, why don't you come? Because He is the good shepherd. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. Heads bowed, not closed. Help me, teenagers. Bow your head. Thank you. Nobody looking around this morning. Boys in the back, y'all be still. Be still. Thank you. This is the most important time we have. Brother Charles, pray with this gentleman, please. Nobody looking around this morning. Thank you, Brother Tony. I wonder if you're here this morning
you'd really search your heart for just a second, I want to ask you this question, most important question anybody's ever been asked. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you died right this moment, are you sure heaven would be your home? If you cannot answer honestly and assuredly, yes, I sure want to pray for you this morning. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world. When I say I'm just going to pray for you, that's all I'm going to do. I just want to pray for you. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. If you're not sure about your soul, I want you to slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Thank you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, son. Anybody else? "Preacher, I'm not sure. If I died today, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me." Anybody else? "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place. But I sure could use some light on what I'm going through and what direction I'm supposed to take. Please pray for me, preacher. God would give me some light." God bless your hearts. Hands all over the building. One more important question and we're going to pray. "Preacher, I know I'm saved. But I'm afraid I'm that sheep, that lamb who has wandered away from the shepherd. Preacher, pray I get back. Pray I get back." God bless your hearts. Anybody else? "Preacher, pray. I just need to get back to him. I know he's what I need." God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, as we come to you this morning, thank you, Lord, for a good day. Thank you, Lord, for these dear people coming to be in church with us this morning. Lord, we never take that for granted. Lord, nothing thrills a preacher much more than a full house. The only thing more exciting than a full house is a full altar. God, we thank you for these folks coming this morning. But Lord, you know their hearts. God, they came with needs. Lord, they came with burdens. They came with problems. Lord, some come in with some serious baggage. God, I pray you'd help them today. Lord, you saw the hands. You know those that are lost and need you as a Savior. Lord, you saw the hands. You know those that are just looking for some direction, some light for their life and their situation. God, you saw those hands that said, I've just wandered away. I need to come home. Lord, I pray you'd help them today. Father, please, you be magnified. We'll give you all the glory and the honor for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.